kill me, right? When Ali ain't him inside of the fence. Here's the shlach. If you want it, you can send. So the Bali HaTayt is a barber to the Kasha. But later it says, Aishla Chayitam, Aisha Afi Hashem. So it's a thing, it's a thing of Afi Hashem. So what does it mean? What does it mean that it is, the guy took up, Hashem gave permission. See, Hashem just means he gave permission. It doesn't mean that he was inside of it. Called the difficult fashion. So, in the statement that they put out from the Yankee Kamenetsky, he has a shtick on the holocaust, a suggestion of a shot on this. Quotes the Ramban Chumash, which the Beis Halevi has the whole idea of the end of Bereishis, the end of Chumash Bereishis regarding Yosef. Did Yosef do the right thing or did he do the wrong thing by asking the Saram Ashkenaz? To try to remember him and to get him out of prison. The letter says that Yosef was a great father talking, and the letter says he did the wrong thing. So, what does it mean? Is it the right thing? Is it wrong? Because the Beis HaLevi has also an arichas like this Ramban in the end of Chumash Vayikra that Rabbi Yankee Kamenetsky quotes, that every person has a chodesh hishtadlus corresponding to his level of bitachon. If the person is on a higher madrega of bitachon, then he has less of a chodesh hishtadlus. They're dropping bombs all over. If the person is on such a high madrega of bitachon, they let him just sit and say tilla. If he's nervous, then it's not right that he should just say tilla. He should hide. If he's really very nervous, then he should run away, not just hide. And he should do something more than just say tilla. And the chodesh hishtadlus is in accordance with the level of bitachon. So originally, the Rebbe Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what Rabbi Yankee suggested. Originally, he told Moshe Rabbeinu, if Bnei Yisrael want to, they can enter Eretz Canaan and win all the wars against the Lamed Aleph Melachim by St. Philip. They won't have to have any more Chametz at all. It'll be 1-3. And if they want to, if they're not on such a high level of bitachon, if they'll be afraid of the enemy of the Lamed Aleph Melachim, they don't have to have more Chametz. They don't have to fight it out. If they fight it out, then they have to send spies in advance. That's how you wage a normal war, but they're a normal war, but they're a hateva. But the Rebbe Shalom tells them, Shlach Lachal Adaitachon. If you want to, if you feel that the people need it, if they're not on such a high level of bitachon, they'll be afraid to go marching territories over without knowing where they're going, without having a map in advance, without knowing where the weak spots are, where the strong spots are. But said in Meraglim, if you're not afraid, if you're on a high level of bitachon, just let it go, don't be afraid. So Moshe Rabbeinu was pressured into, he says the finished part, a tikkun in the life, full of matayu, nishluchan, noshim, lefaneinu. He was pressured into it. In other words, they were afraid to go in a mahalach of the Ma'alev and Atelet. They wanted to go wage war, they wanted to send the Rabbi Musa. And the Mele was Afi Hashem. Mele, he was in Tzitzab of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he had to send the Rabbi. That if you're already not on that high level of bitachon, then the Mechuyev could send the Rabbi and to wage the war, but they're Afi Hashem. The Pasuk lists off all of the 12 Meraglim. And Shevet Yosef was divided into two. He was divided to Menashe the Ephraim. And there was no, the Shevet Levi didn't send a representative. So the Bala Ateis is there for now. How come Shevet Levi didn't send any representative? So the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shmita Yosef, that's the famous Rambam that all the Rosh Yeshiva taught. That whoever wants to sit and learn can join Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi is a biological entity, those who are actually descendants from Levi. Shevet Levi is a Levian. And then he says it's a concept also that whoever volunteers, Yerem Shpitach Eliyakim, the Rosal Yisrael, Shevet Levi, the Nosna Chelet Ba'oret, and their function is to sit and learn. And the Hatzilah is a mitzvah to appoint in every Bezin, Kohanim, and Levian. The Rambam writes that whoever wants to volunteer to join in Shevet Levi, there's less halach and shmikas yet. No Shevet Levi, the Vadu, Kali Shvish, we call Boy Olam, even a non-Jew, we call Boy Olam. It doesn't even say the same song. Shanot Bar Yucha also, one who will volunteer, the Hedino Mado'o, and his intelligence will lead him to understand the Hivado, to separate himself from this world, Lamelech Me'Hashem, Meshorot, Ovi Yovdo, Vadeyas Hashem, V'Holach Yoshech, Meshorot Tehu Elokim, Chassid says in Kelis, Elokim also saw them Yashu. Holach Yashu is Moshe, Seyed Elokim. He goes in the Derech of Yashu, says Hashem created him. So on. The Korek Mial Tavara, Olach Hashbon, is a Rabbi Shadikshu Bnei Ha'adam. It's the Pasuk. Elokim also saw them Yashu, the Hema Dikshu Chenshon is Rabbi. The Pasuk at the end of Kohel. If the person wants to go on the straight path that Hashem created him, Harezen is Kaddish Kodesh Kodoshim, Via Hashem Kelkov, Nachlot, and Yoram, and Yoram, and Yoram, and Yoram, and this is the real part of the Shevet Levi. So the Rambam there, when he describes Shevet Levi, the Halacha right before that, says that, he sounds like he says that Shevet Levi doesn't go to war either. Lo Orchem, Lo Chomer. It was even in Achrayim whether you committed to drift Kohanim in the Yom. We discussed the conflict between Rabbi Tzalo Zilna and Rabbi Shlomo Zilna. So Rabbi Tzalo Zilna had a Rabbi Shlomo Zilna had a finish. He thought that Kohanim cannot be drifted into the Yom because when that committed to the Kohanim of Eitz, when you're on the Yom, it means that someone's going to talk, going to kill people. So some of your soldiers are going to get killed. So how does the shot that the soldier should go to the Yom with that a real army, not some like in America. Real army, but they're really fighting. That was a shock that the soldiers should go through the army without being Tamil and make. How can Kohanim go through the army? But Shalom Adon had this Siddish that Kohanim are not included in Parsha Zohar. Just like the Rishonim say that women are not included in Parsha Zohar because they're not drafted in the army, so Kohanim are not included. So the Balkari and Shul of the Kohen became the ghost of the Siddish with Parsha Zohar because not included in the Zohar and Kohanim. And his brother Rabbi Tzalbun, the Talmud, that's utterly ridiculous. There is no such thing. He can draft Kohanim in the army also. Rambam says not only don't you drift on them, it says Shevet Levi is supposed to be in the army. It's a simple meaning of the Rambam. The end of Shemitah of Yozel. No Choroshim, no Chom. They don't go to war. Everything is different. They're supposed to sit in voluntary all the time. The Hitmon should assume that the way Rabbi Yankee Kamenetsky says that the whole purpose of sending the Meravim was as a Hachonet and a Mechomer. And Shevet Levi doesn't go to... You don't draft anybody to Shevet Levi, so you don't make them generals either. So you don't send them in as spies either. Sending the spies is the Hakonah to wage in the war. So the others are going to wage the war. Shevet Levi not going to wage it. But that's why we already asked on that Ramah. They don't know where in the world the Ramah got that from. The Shevet Levi doesn't go to the army. Even if the Balkari is a lady, because it can't be my fear, everybody passes off that. Lloyd died, he's a coin, he can't be. Even a lady, also not. It's a Gorah, a Kiddush. So if one should assume, not like the Rambam, that Levi'im were drafted in the army, so how come they weren't drafted over here? So the Bali Atesis is the answer. The Canaan, the Hadar Canaan, the different collections of the Bali Atesis, they all quote some earlier Bali Atesis. That this everybody agrees with, not Lechelet Bar. That's the Pasuk, whether they went to the army or not, that the people are Rambam, and Akwenim are not sure where the other Rambam got it from. But not Lechelet Bar, that's said in the Chumash. So they assumed that this was the standing of the Meraglim, perhaps had a shaykhet with Mithilas Chelet, Mithilas Chelet Bahar. That's what Shevet Levi means. What exactly does that mean? It wasn't a military function. Yankin said it was a military function. The Bala Esaisis don't want to say like that. They say it wasn't a military function, it was a function of Notlo Chelet Bahar. What exactly does that mean? That's where Rav Soloveitchik, the Chana Baruch once gave a whole brochure that was written up by Rabbi Bezin and printed in his book. I don't know exactly what the sources of his brochure are, but in the Joshua that say this, but he said that the Gemara says in the beginning of the second parak in Kiddushin that a boy is not allowed to propose to a girl at she ran at Tila. Aslav Shem Kaddish to Isha at she ran at Tila. Why? And the mitzvah of the women, and they won't be happily married. They won't be in fulfillment of the mitzvah. You have to rachat kamoicha. After rachat kamoicha, goes on your wife. And so the couple have to be in love with each other. The Rav Soloveitchik held at Russia that the relationship between Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is like marriage, like a husband and a wife. He said that they're not permitted to make the shidduch until they first see the Eretz Yisrael. That's why he doesn't say sent meraglim. In after they're sending Meraglim. Meraglim means spy. That's a military thing. That's a military function. But in the Parsha, it doesn't say the Asur. It doesn't say the Meraglim. The Asur means Losuras are Suri. Travel around there. So what do you mean? Not Meraglim. We call them the Meraglim. But the Chumash calls them Losuras are. What does that mean? Reason is our, should come give us back a report. He said that was Achi Ren of Kilo. The person should take a look at the Kala, they should fall in love with each other before they get married. that the Balayatesis apparently say something like that. They say it wasn't, they don't say it was a military function, they say it was those who were not the Chelet Barak had to send representatives. The Shaded Lady was well enough for Chelet Barak. What does that mean? That they're not married. Very sincere. What exactly does that mean? Anyway, the Rishonim were wondering about it. The Rishonim also ask another question. Why it says, if Shevet Yosef was divided to two, he had Menashe and Ephraim, and usually when a Chumash will say Lamata Yosef, it will say Lamata Yosef, Lamata Ephraim. Here it's different. Here it says Lamata Yosef, Lamata Menashe. How come? So Lamata Ephraim Hashem Benun, plus Ches. And later it says, Yud Aleph, Lamata Yosef, Lamata Menashe, Gadi Bensu. You shouldn't say first Lamata Yosef, Lamata Ephraim Hashem Benun. The Balei HaTesis is the answer. Give an answer. It's a difficult thing to give an answer that the Chumash puts together the Gadi ben Susi from Mate Menashe together with Mate Yosef, because Yosef spoke Lashon Hara about his brothers by Yod Yosef and Tigoshim Goel Aliyah, and the 10 of the 12 Meraglim spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. So he put the stigma on Mate Yosef, he put that negative, the nasty name of Yosef in Pasach. The Chumash describes what Yod Yosef was about to all of him. The brothers were angry, why he spoke in Lashon Hara. And the portion said that he wasn't talking in Lashon Hara. That he felt obligated to tell his father that his brothers are not acting properly. And please do so. It's not Lashon Hara. Very strange, but the Balei HaTesis describes like that. But since Hoshea ben Nun and Mati Ephraim did not speak Lashon Hara, so they don't want to write Mati Yosef and Mati Ephraim. So Rabbi Yankee Kamenetsky in the paper that they put out has a different suggestion. Tanayim has the Jewish idea. He says, when Yankee, the Rishonim don't give this answer though. The Rishonim asked the question to give a different, the answer that he said. Rabbi Yankee suggested a different mahalak that when Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim and he sees that Yosef already has two children, and Asher Ephraim, so he says, Shnei Bonachah, Meraldim Lachov, the Eretz Mitzrayim, Lehiyang, Ephraim, and Menashe, Kerub, and Hashim, and Yehuda, he gives them the status of Shvatim. But just like all, Kerub, and Hashim, and Levi, Yehuda, just like I have all of my children are Shvatim, so I give you this proof that you have two Shvatim, and Asher Ephraim. What's going to be? Yosef closed up shop already. That's it. Not going to have any more children. But he has no children. This is Malaz, of Hashalaz, Achrein, Mechoi, Yehu. Hashem, Achem, Yikar, Ben Achalaz. In other words, if you have more children, if you have more children, you only have two sons, and Asher Ephraim. Whatever other children you're going to have, sons and daughters, Hashem Achem, you cover the Nachlos, it doesn't belong either to Menashe or to Ephraim. They won't constitute a separate shevet. So what shevet did they talk about belong to? Never said. Rabbi Yanke says, if you look through the Chumash, you have some, every so often you have a strange notion of Bnei Yosef. So Bnei Yosef, what do you mean Bnei Yosef? He says, oh, that's referring to the other children of Yosef, who didn't belong to shevet. They weren't Menashe, they weren't Ephraim. So what shevet did they belong to? They said, that's what it means, Lamata Yosef, Lamata Menashe. Menashe was the core. Rabbi Yosef said, look, all the other children should join Menashe. He's the core, it's only right. He suggested that's what it means. That Gadi ben Susi was not really from Menashe, he wasn't from Ephraim, he was from the other descendants. He was from Sharpen Yosef. So the Pasuk says, Lamata Yosef, Lamata Menashe. All the miscellaneous descendants from Yosef that didn't really belong, they weren't really direct descendants of either Menashe or Ephraim. Hashem Achem Yikar Menachalos, which ones? And he all joined onto Mata Menashe. And several other psukim which he interprets his meaning like that. Then I'm thought, Vayikra Moshe Lehoshea bin Nun Yehoshea. Rashi quotes from the Medrash and from the Gemara in Sirta that he changed his name now, on this occasion. He changed the name of Hoshea bin Nun. The Rashban and other Balei HaTesis, Hadar became and so on, the other Torah, they suggest the Paneach Rosa, so a few Balei HaTesis, no less. They don't think that that's the Pshat, because they're ready in Parshas B'Shalach by the Mohammed Samole. It says, Chemes HaMolek was before. This is the Shana Shniya. But on Chemes HaMolek it already uses the name Yehoshua. On another occasion it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai, that Yehoshua was standing downstairs, down by the home. But his name was already changed to Yehoshua earlier. So they say that probably the Rashbam and the other Hashem say, no, it probably means that in Vayikra he had already four. Vayikra Moshe Moshe bin Nun Yehoshua, when he was a star student and he liked him so much, so he changed his name. And he find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the name of Abraham, he changed the name of Sarah. We find one of the Baal HaTayyis about Lahadol Elef Alte HaDolus in Kodesh Lechoyl that Paro changed the name of Yosef to Zafon Faneh. What's so good? Lahadol Elef Alte HaDolus. I mean, you're both from the Shem, you're Moshe Ben Shem. They have to write Lahadol Elef Alte HaDolus in Kodesh Lechoyl. And then they write, and you find that Hanef had changed the name of Hanan Mishol Azariah, Shadrach Meshach Abed Nego. That's what they described it for. Shadrach Meshach Abed Nego. That's the Goyish name that they were given. You see that when people are oiler the Gedulah, so the meaning of it is that you change the name. So, Moshe ben Nun became the star student of Moshe Rabbeinu, so he was mechaber with the Shini Hashem. So he changed his name. We have a meaning, make a Shini Hashem at home, it's not told anybody yet. It's so thick that Tshuva, Tfilah, and Sok, and nothing's working. So then the Gemara says, Tshuva, Tfilah, Sok, and Avion, Roy, Arzera. And then the Bryce and Rosh Hashanah, the first prayer says that Shini Hashem also works. Shini Hashem is really supposed to be when a person does tshuva, should make Shini Hashem. The Raman has a tshuva for Ani Yishaker, of course, the idea of Shini Hashem. We only have the meaning by us is that we make the Shini Hashem when someone is very sick. But here we make the Shini Hashem out of Pashidus, when the person is elderly.
What does Shini Hashem do?
Well, here Shini Hashem just is to indicate Pashidus. But in the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, quoting the Gemara, it's supposed to imply as if the Gzera of the Ruah and Hashemayim and Hosea doesn't apply to Yahushua. The Gzera of the Ruah and Pliny doesn't apply to Almoni. It's a different person. Ani Yishacher. Psychologically, the Rambam writes it Kigul psychologically. He says, Ani Yishacher, the person convinces himself I'm a different person, so I don't identify with those Averis. I don't identify with my past. I have a whole different outlook on life. So Moshe Rabbeinu tells them they should go travel around the earth and see what it's doing. Hayesh for eight imayim. What do you mean, Hayesh for eight imayim? The Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Hayesh for eight. Hayesh for him, Adam Kosher. Shiyogin Aleihem, Bizzatusa. Like a tree sheds shade, gives shade. So too, a tzaddik shades and protects the Bnei HaDor. That's how Rashi quotes in the Medrash. And Ramban writes the Pshat, and other Mishanim also, and the Baal HaTayr, they also have the Pshat, and Kameach Rote quotes the Pshat. Hayesh Bo Eitz means, do they have any, is the Ribbono Shel Olam protecting them? To see if there's any tzeil. Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem Tzilcha Yad Minecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu shade. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives shade to protect from the sun. So that they have to see whether there's any, whether they think there's any divine protection for these people. But the letter does say like that. The letter says, Yesh Bo'ei, do they have any tzadikim? Who is the tzadik ever done a medrash to think that one of the tzadikim at that time was Eo? The Gemara in Baba Basra has in the first third. The Gemara lists off all the Sikri HaTanah, who authored the various Sikri HaTanah, so the Gemara discusses the book of Eo. One opinion is that it's all a novel. It's not a true story, it never happened. It says it was once upon a time, it's not true. And other opinions in our world know that he really was such a person, but the Tanaim are not sure what generation he lived in. One Tana says he must have lived in the generation of Mark Taliesta, because it says how attractive his daughters were. When was there a beauty contest between you doing the most mirror on the wall, who's the fairest up in the wall? That's only in the days of Mark Taliesta. It says Shed Eliezer and the man Medina, they had a beauty contest between the Miss Universe. Not only that, we have to say the Miss Universe, but then they only had one.
No, not also by David. What do you know, compares the two?
I don't know. David Gemara had one opinion, David Moshe Rabbein had a different opinion. So this one member says, Hayesh Beit Shammai, and see if the Kut Aviyah will be making. And both size up the situation, which I've been talking about, size up the situation, determine whether you think that the Kut Aviyah will be living now there to Israel, whether it will be making it. It's interesting, on this said that they have a different story from the Roman one, either Kod Aliyah or Divrei Aliyah, I forgot which one, so they have more than one thing. So they quote the Gemara has a lotion that when Eo was suffering a lot, his children died, he loses all his business, he loses all his fortune, and so on, he was really suffering. So the Medrash, the Gemara has an Agartha, the Gemara has a lotion that Eo was considering lapach ha'kairo al-paneho. He was considering becoming an apikoros. Lapa Hakaira Alpha now. What exactly does that mean literally? Turn the plate upside down. The lotion that appears in the Gemara in different places in the Medrash. Hapa Hakaira Alpha now. What does it mean? So the quote from the Gemara has nothing to do with today's Sedra. It's just that since the Pasuk says Hayeshua Eitim Ayim, and the Medrash comments that they should Rabbeinu told them they should size up the situation, do they think that he's true to Leo? Will be making on them that the point of the assumption that Eo was a true figure and he really lived in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, so that's how the Medrash interprets. Yes, wait a minute, see if the truth of Eo will be met. So the little man has a comment on Eo. And he says, what does it mean? How do you translate the word here? It's Lapa Hakaira Alphana. So he quotes an allegory that appears in the Medrash somewhere. But it's an allegory that appears in non-Jewish sources as well. That there was once a king of a small area who was known as a very big captain. And whoever would sneeze wrong, whoever would look at him wrong, he would achas dasalam, he was going to get angry at him. But one fine day, the butler served the king his meal, and he spilled the soup over a little bit. The butler got so terrified that he took the bowl of soup and he poured the whole bowl of soup over. And the king looked at him and said, what, are you crazy? Well, you pour the whole bowl of soup over it. Ishlaimi, you spilled a little bit of the soup. He said, oh, two drops come out. For sure, Jay, it's an accident. I understand. What do you take the whole bowl? Turn the whole thing upside down. Amazing form. Now, for sure, I'm going to punish you. So the butler told him, I know that you're such a big captain. Everybody knows that you're such a big captain. I know you're going to kill me just for spilling the two drops accidentally. I love you so much. I don't want to have your reputation by shmur. They're going to print it on the newspapers that the king killed the butler because he tipped over this bowl of soup and the two drops spilled over. And I know that's what they're going to print because that's the truth. And I don't want to ruin your reputation. So that's why I wanted to make the Aveira bigger in order to cover up on you. So you're going to kill me, so at least kill me for a real Aveira. Out of love he did. But the king thought that it was such a nice thing that he did that he wanted to save his reputation, so he was merciful. So the Zulnagon says he thinks that that's the root, that's the source of the expression of Lapa Hakaira Al Panah. It doesn't mean when a person becomes an avera, it means when a person is prepared to do an avera in order to save Kvod Shemayim. The expression always appears in the Midrashim that someone became an apikaret, Lapa Hakaira Al Panah. So the Gro says it doesn't mean he became an apikaret, it means he was afraid that the Olam wouldn't understand why did Rabbeinu Shalom dealt so cruelly with Bnei Yisrael over him? Why he had to suffer so much? Like Eov, take Eov. He was suffering. He was a tzaddik. The Pasuk describes in the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyahu, he was an unusual tzaddik. Now, at the same time, so the people would wonder. The Eov had no passion against Rabbeinu Shalom. But the Olam would be wondering, why did God punish him? What did he do wrong? So he was considering becoming a Baal Aveira in order to save Kvod Shemayim, that everyone should be able to say, aha, he was always a faker, he really never had any emunah, he was really never religious, and Rabbeinu Shalom did right by punishing him, because he's talking not religious to begin with. That's the interpretation. You have different midrashim where you have like that. Tosfos in the Yeshnerf says about the Mekoshesh. At the end of today's Sefer Mekoshesh, Tosfos quotes Medrash L'shem Shamayim Nisgadim. That the people heard that they're going to lose Eretz Yisrael, they're going to lose their chance to go to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to have to travel in the Midbar for 40 years, then they're all going to die out, so they decided, so what do they have to keep Shabbos for? It doesn't pay. If you're going to keep the Midbar, you're going to lead up to a goal, so then it makes sense. But to keep Shabbos and all the Midbar, no, it's not going to lead up to a goal. They're going to die in the Midbar, so why should they bother? That's what the Mekoshesh did in the Shem Shemayim. He did the Chil Shabbos in the Shem Shemayim, not to protect Kvod Shemayim, but rather he wouldn't use the expression Lapa Hakaira Al Panecho here, because he didn't do it for the same motivation as the Eved, as the king's butler in that mashal, in that parable. But over here, you have such an idea that different people did Averis in the Shem Shemayim. They did the Averis in the Shabbos in order to shock the people in the Midbar into the realization that you get the Einish Shmita for Chil Shabbos, even though you're not going to go to Eretz Yisrael, even though Shmira Shabbos doesn't pay. Still, Allah is still living, you're not going to be in the high Shabbos. You find throughout the Tanakh, the Chachamim comments about different people that they did that. They did Averis. Now they are the Shema. They did Averis the Shema. Moshe Rabbeinu told them that his Chazak them will attack them and bring the Oret, that they should bring back some tailors. So the Pasuk says later, that they're bringing back tailors from Eretz Yisrael. The Rashi comments But only 10 out of the 12 Meravim brought bacteria. And Yeshua and Kala didn't, but the whole purpose of bringing bacteria was to show Kala, Yeshua and Kala learned not to plumb it. We, that the Yashi and Kosta called him. If you should call out from Hoti Divan and Skavnim, name the Kishim Shikiri on Yeshua, Kaham on Yeshua, just like the parents are so giant, they're so gigantic, so the people are so strong. But Yeshua and Kala didn't want to say Lashon Hara. They felt that they should go there as well. So that's why they didn't bother bringing any parents. So the Bali HaTayit is asked on this Rashi, isn't it against the Medesh Tachum? Medesh Tachum has a comment on the Pasuk over here, when they were in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't plan to bring back Teres. Kolei insisted, no, Kolei was the first one to take Teres. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu told us, it will pack them for yours. But you have to take, but you also, and I'm going to take first, and then Kolei took, Moshe took, and then you also. So how can Rashi say, Rashi's quoting another message. How can Rashi say that they didn't say it? Well, were they in violation of what Moshe Rabbeinu said? So this can cash, you can say it's not like it's a Midrash. One letter says that Yeshua and Kala did say it, one letter says they didn't. Afi Tashka, it's not like it's a Midrash. Some Balei says they want to be the Yashu. They want to say that originally the one who insisted that they should take was Safi Kala. But then when they all took, when the other time Rabban took, and then you call it on the proof what they're going to do with it, they're going to try to bring out the Tetrainus of Eretz Yisrael, the Kishem Shateris Demishun, Kahama Mishun, but then he left his Teres in Eretz Yisrael. I'm Moshe Rabbeinu told him, he's not going to do this, he's like Moshe Rabbeinu the Roh, which is another Roh. That's what Tamashe Rabbeinu said. They want to be Niyashu, the Tzun of Roshi, that he's going to do. Why do you have to be Niyashu? Why do the Medesh Tam Tamashe, why do the Medesh Rabbeinu? Yeah, wouldn't be the first Machlekes between the Roshi. Anyway, but the problem was that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them to attack them to your. That's the question that bothered the Balei HaTayit. How could they decide on their own that they're not going to bring back Teres? If that was their job, that was what they were instructing. The pasuk says, "Vayavoa Nachal Eshkol." They came to a certain area. Vayitzu Misham Mor BeEshkol Anon Mefar. They cut off an Eshkol of Anovim, of grapes. Amakum ahu kara nachal eshkol. Aladot ha-eshkol shekart misham meisa. They called it nachal eshkol because they took an eshkol. So the Rishani there, but it says, vayogoy wa nachal eshkol. It says when they came there, the place was called nachal eshkol. Back in the day, amakum ahu kara nachal eshkol. Aladot ha-eshkol shekart misham meisa. So the Rashi in Tumish Dvorim, the Rashi says that when it says vayogoy, the Rashi means it's over here. I'll put that a little bit. But it's over there, in the beginning of the world. So when it says vayogoy wa nachal eshkol, it's called nachal eshkol shem tofa. The Chumash called it. It didn't yet have that name. It was only given that name after they took the Eshkalon. That's the Pashup Shah. It's Mavi said, the Chumash and Rashi, that's the way they usually learn Shah. They quote the name of the Zon Leguan here in one of these poems. Another quote the name of Sholei Diskin, who lived 100 years after the Zon Leguan. Question, some genius had a different eyeball, not like Rashi. That there's a slight discrepancy over here. By Yavoa Nachal Eshkol is written Chaser, Al Shin Chav Lamed. Then it says that they called it Nachal Eshkol, Al Shin Chav Vav Lamed. So they quote in the name of either one Zoran or the other that there's a difference in pronunciation between Eshkol Molen and Eshkol Chaser. What's the difference? They don't know. There must be some difference. So originally it was called Nachal Eshkol because of Honor Eshkol Amamre, or because of somebody else by the name of Eshkol, or some other person. And later they called it Nachal Eshkol with a slight difference in nature, the pronunciation, the Alshemo Eshkol, because of the Eshkol Anotim that was saying. That's not what Rashi says. I don't remember. Gotta take a look. On the Eshkol Amam is there, isn't it? When Rabban came back to the Bnei Yisrael, so they gave the report. So they also said, Zorah Tzolot Vashi, is that the wonderful land. The Rashi quotes from the Gemara, why did they tell that? They want to say Divas Oros Roh, so why did they say anything to the Tzitz? The Rashi says, whenever you have a Dvar Sheker, that's pure Sheker from the beginning to the end, doesn't have any Mikhtas Emes from the beginning, it's Emel Kiyam. So they want to start off with things that were Emes, Bano Ha'oret, Kamdav Kolozash, it's a period, they said things that are Emes, and really that the people should begin to believe them. And then they slipped in the things of a shekel later on. It was a technique that they had. To say, mikta sendus tefillot, in order that the divrei shekel should also be mikta. Other proportions point out, I didn't see the Rishonim, I saw some later commentary. They say the gam is usually a footnote. They said, yeah, it's a nice country, it's not there, it's beautiful, yeah, nice country. Ephes, Yazam, that was the main thing. Not that, like Rashi says, oh, those wonderful countries that was full of advash, and they say, mikta sendus tefillot, that everybody should be masking. No, the pasuk itself indicates that they toned down the part of the Zohar following Rashi. The people at the Zohar, yeah, that's it. Okay, it's gone. Ephes, Yazon, that was the main part of the Russia that they gave. That's what the shot seems to be indicating. Pasuk says in Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Vav, Yeshua v'kale Koro Jigdei. Why did they rip their bedodim? So the Pasuk Shad is that if one hears Kirlat Hashem, one hears Kirlat Hashem, and the police to rip Kriya. He had terrible news. Tomorrow in the third Perek of Moshe Kotin says, he had terrible news that there was a terrible tragedy that a lot of Jews were killed and so on. But then the din of Hashmos was, you have to rip Kriya. Here, this was a terrible thing. That Yeshua the Pollock see the way the Meraglim, the 10 Meraglim, said against them, and all the people listened to. It's only natural. If you have 10 people say one way, 2 people say the other way. So everybody would listen to the 10 people. You don't say Trey Kameyer. Some of course, why don't you say Trey Kameyer? Trey Kameyer is a din of Hilfa Sadis. A shot of Hilfa Sadis. It's an analysis. They're not contradicting each other on the facts. They're saying they're giants. The facts are the facts. It's a question of interpreting the facts, the analysis. So you don't say you don't apply trachemae on analysis. So everybody believed the 10 as opposed to the 2. And they all sat down and they were crying. And they all decided they're not going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So this was terrible. This was the undoing of the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim. The whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is always to Eretz Yisrael. And they're all crying. Lama Hashem. Do master the Eretz Mitzrayim. We wish we could have remained in Mitzrayim. It's terrible. Although Tavlan Shul Mitzrayim, let's go back to Mitzrayim. So they were ripping Kriya over the terrible tragedy. The shot is why Aaron and Moshe didn't rip Kriya. They knew that the 10 Meraglim was telling a lot. So why didn't they rip Kriya? So Chaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that. So Mechara, that's the reason why the Yeshua and Kol ripped Kriya. It's like Birchas Hashem. Some say because they said Chichol Zekul Imenu. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, quote the Chazal Kumi Menu. Menu doesn't mean stronger than us, it means stronger than him. At the end of Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the Chazal Kumi Menu, that the Lamed Aleph Malachim are more powerful than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same word, Mimenu. The Gemara says, oh, Tikri Mimenu, Ala Mimenu. What do you mean, Tikri Mimenu, Ala Mimenu? It's the same pronunciation of her. But Mimenu means they're stronger than us, they're stronger than him. Kibay Yoach is stronger than the Rebbe Shalom. So the Gemara says that that's what the Meraglim meant, that was Mamish Divrei Chiyuv of Yidu. So that's why they read Kriya, because they heard like Birchas Hashem.
When you make down a person who is not part of that, they don't say the exact Lashon until the time of the Marjim, but the whole time they're saying something like a Birch Hashem, you know, the Kriya.
I don't know. So because of the fact that men saw sin and they're all crying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he's going to punish all the people and they're all going to die in the river. And you are the earth, Hashem is Bati Lav of Gam, V'chol Mena Asai, Lo Yeruma, because it's called Gima. Very good job in because it's called Gima. You are the earth, Hashem is Bati Lav of Gam. When a person is Nishma, he says, In, Hashem is Bati Yaki, In Yivoy, Lam, 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 throughout Tanakh, that's the way you write. The Shavua in Shalom. Here means, from the Shavua, Nishba, Chayoni. Chayoni means Hashem swears by his dignity. And Yiru Atarat, in Shalom, Yiru Atarat, Hashem is Vati Lavetah. Then it continues the Shavua, Chomen Atai, Lo Yiruah. Mamasha repeats. Why does it say the same thing twice in one part? It's not even repeat one part of the verse. Very strange. But the Vizkirov has in his Sefer HaKodesh a comment on this part. He says that the Medrash says that there were three groups of people when they were crying about the report that the Meraglim was gay. It doesn't mean that every single Jew was crying. Some of them were crying and some of them were not crying. But he said, Kol Ha'edah, Vayitnu As Kolom. But Kol Ha'edah means, look at the Kula, no to the people to cry. It doesn't mean that every single Jew was crying. Some are crying, some are not crying. But was there a difference? The Ha'edah said, everybody's going to die out in Midgar when they reach the age of 60. Is that Ha'edah only on those who were crying or even those who were not crying on the meal? The Medrash says that there were three categories. There were people who were before by mitzvah, even if they were crying by mitzvah, cutting the labarach, he's not punished. The people who were between the ages of 40 and 60, so that was a light look. The Baruch Hashem said, everyone's going to die, yes, except for Yeshua and Kolob. They're not going to die, even though they didn't cry, even though they didn't go along. And those who were in between the age of bar mitzvah and 20, so then Medrash says it depends. Those who were ba'odai, so those who were crying, those who felt that the Rabbi Shalom had treated Bnei Yisrael unfairly, that he was torturing us, that they were punished. And those that the Gadol, they were said by mitzvah. And those who didn't complain, that they were not punished. The three Chiluki Kapar, three different categories. So the Rizka wrote that perhaps that's the way the Pesukim read. In Yiru, Torah Tashem Mishvat, Kol HaNoshim HaRoyim, it's ready to say Torah Tashem HaSinsim Kan HaNasar, it's ready to say Torah Tashem HaSinsim Kan HaNasar, Yiru, Torah Tashem Mishvat, Tel Avar Tzom, they're all going to die. Those who are between the age of 20 and 60, they're all going to die when they reach the age of 60. Those who are between the age of Bar Mitzvah and 20, B'chol Menas, die in Lo Yerumah. Those who on this occasion, those who joined with the Meraglim and crying, I will punish them also, B'chol Menas, die. Then, in Tav Kham Asher Amartam, Levaz Yiyah, the Pasuk says later, and the children who you think, that's the third chiluk that the Medrash says, that those who before Bar Mitzvah, even if they were crying, it doesn't count because our custom is a lot bar lunch. That's one suggestion they have. Based on the Medrash, that there were three different categories of people. The low Bar Mitzvah above the age of 20 and between Bar Mitzvah and 20. Between Bar Mitzvah and 20, I've then gave the Pasuk to comment on slightly. Then he has another suggestion based on Agamara. It goes like this, that the Nesiv has the beginning of this pshat on this pasuk. The Nesiv in his commentary on Chumash has in the footnotes on the bottom, the Herchav Dover quotes the pasuk in Tilim and the pasuk in Yechezkel. But the Nesiv say that it was on this occasion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going there that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. That's why the Medrash says it was the Tishah B'Av, that the Tisha B'Av, and on Tisha B'Av the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. What's the connection? Because it was on this occasion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided not only that they thought they'd have to stay in Mitzvah for another 40 years, for 40 years, but also that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed and they thought will be scattered all over the world. It says no. That in the Chumash it doesn't say it explicitly. That it did interpret this part of the Mother for Hashem is called by having the Beis HaMikdash scattered all over after the Chum Bayis Rishon, after the Chum Bayis Sheni, that would be the Mother for Hashem is called Ha'aretz. The Mother says in Sofim that well, I just want to say that the Beis HaMikdash sent into Golos in order to be Marbe Geirim, in order that people should seek Kol Shamayim. The Nesiv claims that that's for the Pasuk Kafalot, based on the scripture in the Testament too. So as Ovala suggests, and maybe that's the Pshat and Pasuk called Gimelot in Yiru, the Pasuk Shem Yishvati Lava Yisram, that's referring to this Dora Mitzvah. We're all going to die in Mitzvah. The Chol Menas, Tzai, Lo Yeruha means I'm going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Not a few hundred years, that's not now. The first day of the Pasuk called Gimelot now. The second half of Pasuk Chagimel is going to be fulfilled way later in history, after the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, then the Chol Menas Tzai Lo Yeruah. That, of course, only depends if that's Allah Sinai, but if the Rosh Hashanah is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, he already decided not to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, even if the Jews will not do any sins at all. No, that's not the way it sounds in the Tanakh. The Rebbeim comes, they complain that the Jews are sinning, that's why they're going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. What do you mean, that's why? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu already said, it says in the book, Yechezkel and Sefer Tilim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu already said on the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim that he's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So obviously it means, Allah Tanai. If he goes in later on, he's going to be angry about the Chet HaMeraglim and destroy the Beis HaMikdash and send the son of the God. So that's what Rav Ovadia suggests, Oy Yishmon, another Mahalach, the Chomen on Tzayla Yeruah goes on according to Beis HaMikdash, which is Allah Tanai, if there will be Menai to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu is mispalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you should not destroy the Bnei Yisrael. If you're going to wipe out all the people, what will the nations of the world say? Yom HaRavim HaShosham HaShemach Aleim HaNegut HaYuchelot HaShem L'Hav Yecham HaZel HaRek HaShanish B'Lehem HaYish Chatein B'Amin Borj. You shouldn't do that. Don't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have the ability to fight against the Lamed Aleph Mavach, against the power of Adam Sam Domination he has. And on Yom Tov, or Yom, maybe on the Yad Vashi doesn't have, maybe so all kinds of what they have in the door can come up with all kinds of ideas. So we explain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not powerful enough. The Gemara in Brachot is comment, why did Moshe Rabbeinu in his tefillah say, Nizulti Yecholot Hashem Lashem Ekeivo, he should have said Lashem Zofa. Nizulti Yochol Hashem. A lot of portions say they don't understand the question at all. Yochol is a verb and Yochol is a thing. Yochol is means ability. Nizulti Yecholot Hashem. Hashem ain't lo ha-yecholot. What's wrong? It's not Lashon Ekeivo. So one of the Gedolim that was from 150 years ago, right? The Sefer says, Matas, so many of the Jews don't know Pshat in that Gemara. Pizza, they don't know Pshat. They quote them kind of a far-fetched Pshat in his own regard. It's a very strange Pshat. What it means. So the Gemara has a comment on this. Why did he say Yecholot? Why did he say Yochol? Because the Ulma Torah will say that Tashish Kadosh Kinnikeivo. He said, the Lashon is not powerful like a man, he's weak like a woman. Women in Tanakh are always described as weak, traditional, classical literature. So, the Yecholot Hashem, the Yom Tov will say, that the Baruch Hu is Toshish Kodesh in the Kiva Cholila, that that's why he doesn't have the ability to bring them into Eretz Kanaan. Lachnon, Moshe Rabbeinu pleads with the Baruch Hu, Slachno, Lavonu, Hazek, Vero, Kazecha, Vachashim, Stoth, Lavonu, Zeinu, Kanaan, Yem Hashem, Shalachti, Kidro, Rech. Hashem forgave the Jewish people. It's very schwer that he forgives. However, rule of Chayani, I'm going to punish them. So what do you mean I forgive? Someone does something very bad, and they plead with their parents that they should forgive them. Parents say, I love you, I love you. Then they give them such cash that they're never going to forget. For 40 years they torture them. So how do you mean? How do you give the pshat? First one is all forgiving God and says, I'm going to forgive you. But I'm going to punish you for 40 years in the midst. How do you give the pshat? Then the Rishonim ask another question. That the Rashi quotes the name of the Medrash earlier. Rashi quotes that when was this declared? Salakti Kitabarakha, but it's often said on Yom Kippur. Rashi describes the 40 days and the 40 days and the 40 days. The first 40 days in Har Sinai was Kirotan, the middle 40 days was the Kaas, the last 40 days HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave. And on the last day of the last unit of 40 days on Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Salakti Kitabarakha. As your Rebbeinu came down to the Buddha Shnei. What do you mean? The Lakti Kitzvarecha doesn't appear at all in Parshas Kitzvah. It's over here by the Chet HaMarachim. So what did Rashi quote? Medrash. What did Medrash say? The Lakti Kitzvarecha was over here. So the Bali HaTayim say, yeah, that's how you have to read the Pasuk. Read it like this. Moshe Rabbeinu is pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please, Lakna Malan with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just like you forgave us in the pit, Lachashem HaSotolam is an Enchanrat Heinu. Vayam Rashem Salach Tikidvarech, but let's all follow the Tfilas Moshe Rabbeinu. And you said, Ayam Kippur last year, Salach Tikidvarech, so please Rabban Shalom forgive now also. Question mark, that's the end of the Tfilas. The Tfilas Moshe Rabbeinu ends at the end of Pasuk Chav. Not, the Tfilas doesn't say, Lachna Malan with HaKadosh HaSotolam is an Enchanrat Heinu. Period. Remember, Yom HaShem is a continuation of the narrative. No, that's part of the theme of Moshe Rabbeinu. Slach no kashan hazot, olam hazeh v'yom HaShem slach kitvarech, and on Yom Kippur last year you said, you're forgiving us, so forgive us now also. The Pasuk says, chavala, so the Pasuk response is, sorry brother, nothing to do. This time I'm not going to forgive. This time I'm going to punish you for 40 years, I'm going to stay in the middle. Because I'm going to say, v'yom HaShem slach kitvarech, it goes now. That's the narrative, that's what the Pasuk was saying. So how do you read the next passage? I forgive, I love you, I forgive you, but I'm going to punish you for 40 years. Other Rishonim say not so. Other Rishonim say no. The passage is the narrative. Ayam Hashem Salakti Kivarecha. So we can imagine that just like the Rav Shlom said, not Salakti Kivarecha, somebody said the same before because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was invoking. Hashem Asar Salam Hazen, and Chaim Yad Hema, just like we had trouble with you in the pit, and you kind of have to forgive us. They give us a break now, and Baruch Hu says, okay, so Lachti Kitzvarech, I'll forgive you now like I forgave you in the pit. Implying that the Lachti Kitzvarech was recited on Yom Kippur after the Chesedigal also, a year before, and it was recited again now on this occasion. So the Machlekes is in the Rishonim, and the Baal Yateh, because the Pasuk 12 is a narrative, it's continuing the description of the story. Vayom Hashem now, Hashem says the Lachu Gevurah. Well, no, Pasuk Kaf is the conclusion of the Tfilah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Pasuk Kaf Aleph continues the narrative. But the Baruch Shalom says he's going to punish the Meraglim. They're going to get it. But Abdi Kolei, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Abdi Kolei, Ashkei Pasuk Ruach HaKarim, Malah Acharoi, he's going to be rewarded. I got Yeshua. What happened to Yeshua? Only Kolei? They left somebody else out? But it gives different suggestions. Some are trying to say he doesn't deserve any star because it was all understood of the Rebbe's bracha. Moshe Rabbeinu gave him a bracha. Kol Yoshiav Niyatav Meragim, and that's how he pulled through. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give a bracha to Kolei. So Kolei deserves the star. Some Balei says, say, Yeshua doesn't deserve any star. He could have a bracha from Rebbe, and that's what pulled him through. Other Rishonim say, no. Yeshua got bigger and better. What do you mean? Kolei is going to give up Ubi Kroi. He's going to give him a city and everything else. Yeshua was almost the head of Rosh Hashiva. He took over, he became the president of the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, he took over the whole thing. But the Pasuk is not going to mention over here that the schar, the matan schar to Yeshua, he had 1,000 times bigger schar than Kolei got. And now that Bali HaTesis give another fantastic comment. They give an interesting comment. Some say because the bracha, the matana for Kolei was, the Havyoitiv, El Haraz, Hashem Hashem, the Zari Yorishan, his children will get what the Eretz Yisrael, and Yeshua didn't have any children. Rashi quotes to the Medrash, now Yeshua Ben Nun, means that he didn't, why is it Ben Nun? It says Ben Nun, means that he didn't have any children. So the Gemara says to Islam, they had no children. But the Pasuk can't mention Yeshua together, but Hashem Hashem to Kolei, so the last phrase, Zari Yorishan, the last phrase in Pasuk Chavadala doesn't apply. But other Rishan say differently. Yeshua was a single guy with no family. They always had a Meshuggah that was prepared to go to Eretz Yisrael, go to Aliyah, going to fight malaria, going to go on a kibbutz. But a guy with a wife and children? He has a responsibility to his wife and children. Can't be so free with himself. So Yeshua was married and he had children, and he even worked like Eretz Yashikara. So he said, despite the fact that he was putting his life in danger, his wife is going to be in Amman and sitting under his diamonds. He really deserves a big star. Yeshua Ben Nun was a single guy, had no wife, had no children. The Medrash says that he married Rachel Balzana. But he had no wife, he had no children, so he was only putting his own life in danger. Young people do that at times. But that's why he doesn't deserve honorable mention in Pasuk Chazal. Bali HaTesis, give all the four pshat, why the Pasuk only mentions special star for Kolei, so Kolei is not for Yeshua. What was the punishment that they were all going to die in the Nimrod? They're going to call it to speak again. If you read my pen, you can move on Midbar Azeh. Depends on whether they're going to die in the middle. Why does it say, if you're great, Matan Yitzhu Bamit Rising? Namashariti. Some of these Bali Ateses say, and the Pasuk, I forgot, either the Moshe came, the Hadarja came, and the Akwaz, and one of the Bali Ateses said, it means that they're not allowed to take their bones into their system. So Yoytei said, I'll leave them in touch my son, they should take me back. The Medrash says, all of the Shvatim, they took the bones of all the Shvatim back. And Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in Kutzlar. Moshe Rabbeinu was not only not buried, but then the rest of the was buried, but then buried to after death. So what with all the people who died in Mikvah? So they died. So what if their guy dies in America? If he's the Savoy, his children should take him to Eretz Yisrael to be buried. So we do it, Mike Mechol Yoy. So here, Pasuk Lamed Bey implies that if Red Matan Yitzlu, Banidra Azeh, part of the punishment was that they have to be buried in the Midbar, that the children, even if they want to bring their parents' bodies, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and not the Midbar. That was part of their punishment. Parsha continues with the halacha of the suffering. Whenever you bring a korban in the Beit HaMikdash, you have to bring not all the korbanos, many of the korbanos. Who is there? You have to bring in conjunction with the korban. You have to bring the korban that came. The korban that came can do it. Doesn't do it. What is the korban? What came? The mincha means the cholas, the flour that burns. If you bring a mincha habo b'snei atzma, mincha is a korban. Unless you're a kohen, if you're a kohen, you burn the whole thing. The bala korban is burn the whole thing. Because kohen kol tachtar, and you don't do kmitzah, you just burn the whole thing. If you're not a kohen, you're a lady, you're a girl, so then you do kmitzah. You burn the kohen on his back, and then you have shiurayim. The shiurayim hamincha nechal tzidish kuna yom b'mai luat chatzor. That has the status of kochi kochi. Mincha is a kochi kochi. That's only the mincha bo b'sneach. What if you have a mincha in his kohen? Mincha bo imal zebach. So then you don't do kmitzah on that. You burn the whole mincha on his back. You don't just meet and burn the kohenes and then the kohanim get it. You burn all. So that's minchasim that came. The mincha means the soldiers that come to the conjunction of the carbon. And it came in the yayin that you pour down. In the davening, we have a very strange lash minchasim that came from Zubar. Shlesh Hashem, Chafar, Shlesh Hashem, and so on. The yayin can eat good. We don't say how much. So why do we say minchasim that came in the Zubar? We say, and they bring minchasim that came, as it says in the Chumash, and we mention how much. And then when it comes to the Niskayim, we don't say, just say, how do we say that? Yankin Niskay. So we don't say. So what do you say originally in Niskayim? So the Marshal and the Chubas crosses out the word, you don't say Nechasim Niskayim, you just say Nechasim Kibbutuber. Crosses out the word Niskayim. Nechasim Kibbutuber, Shlosh HaSham Tepor, and say Yankin Niskay. So why should you say it? Before this because of the scan, Kimzuma called it, and then you're gonna say what? Where? You don't say what, you don't count. It crosses it out. It says it's Yantis. And Mishnah is often Menachos, the end of Menachos pushed the truth of Mashal. And he disagrees, that can cross out and doesn't retain. Take it from the Siddur. But he says, no, obviously the Yayin Kiniskin is referring to the Yayin that is talking. And the person that came is referring to the shemen that you pour into the sova. The parasha says over here, parasha shlach, we have to bring mincha in conjunction. That's called mincha tzitzach. That's called mincha tzitzach. Now mincha bo ema zera is called mincha tzitzach as opposed to mincha bo b'fnei atzma. So the mincha has to have shemen in it, and then anything. And also in conjunction with the carbon, you also have to bring yayin to mincha. So these are two different things. The parasha. Diniskeyim refers to the solas and the shemen mixed into the solas. Why is it called diniskeyim? Not pouring the shemen down the pipes, down the sheets and in the mizbeh. He's pouring the shemen into the solas and stirring it and mixing it up together. And then you say, yayin mitzvah, that's the yayin. That's what the Taisus Yantav says is the meaning of the mitzvah that we say. Shailan Sukkot, when every day there's a different korban. The Gemara says on the Leah Zaf, from extra Leah Zaf and Sukkot, that those who live in Chutzlorets have to say Sveik of the Yomis. You have to say, on the first 2 days, you don't say any Sveik of the Yomis. But you're going to say, on the first day, you're going to say Erev Yomis. The second day, Shalom Zalvov, the Yomis Shemis, they say the same as the first day. But then, on the Chalamoy, on all the days of the Chalamoy, you have to say Sveik of the Yomis. You say 2 days. So Shiloh, how many times did he say the Pasuk of the King? So the Levush has a whole attack against those people who only say it once at the end. They say B'yom Arvi, B'yom HaMishi, then they say Mechasim is Kayim at the end. What do you have to say twice? The Levush has a whole attack. No, no, good. So the meat's great, you have to say twice. You have to say after the Yom HaMishi and after the Yom HaShishi. And there's a Yekish Sefer that has all the Menhavim from Germany. There are a few different ones. One of them is called Noi Katsan Yosef. I think it's from Germany. So in the Otsura Tulis, he called it. That's what the Levush said, that's what's printed by us, but he said, no, Katan Yoyti, he told some Yekish Aram Gadol, who says, no, that's enough if he says, yeah. Kirmdan, his master, changed it. He only has it once. He just says to it, he says, yeah. Rabbi Shilva Kirmdan. But he only has once. He said, well, you have to say twice, once. You have to say once, I think. So Vejcik thought that it was a big chutzpah on the part of Rabbi Birnbaum that he changed certain mitzvot in the tefillin. How did he come off with such a great coin? But they had a whole convention of Rabbanim, and they decided that this mitzvah was better than that. He took it into his own hand. He took the different mitzvot. Maybe it's not, he thinks this is nicer, this is shorter, this is longer, this is thinner. Thought that it wasn't right. Anyway, everybody uses his mind. Keep in mind, by the chazan who came on Sukkot, that's not our minute. Our minute is that we say twice, like the Levush. Very important. Why does it say in the Pasuk, Dabar b'nei Yisrael ma'atalem, ki savoy ol eretz mishra sechem sha'anim, and say lachem, atitim isha la Hashem, oy lo yizem, afal ha'neder, then in conjunction with the carpenter, you should bring a mincha and yayin la'netza. The mincha should be bolo b'rvi tahin shana. It should have the cousin that came and yayin. Why does it only say that ki savoy ol eretz mishra sechem sha'anim, eretz mishra sechem sha'anim, what in the they didn't have yayin. They didn't have this. So the Rishayim has to look in Parshat Tiktaver. It says, what carbonus they had to bring when they made Chanukah's HaMishkan? It says in the Pharisees that they had Yayin, and they had Shemin, and they had Sodas, they had the whole work. The Manzeh, how do you read Pasuk Beit? So the Bali HaTes is the aspect of Shem. Tredmina has a whole tilt on it. The whole tilt was taken Bali HaTes. Bali HaTes is on this Pasuk. Quote, it is a Gemara at the end of the Vatman in the Machlek that is due to Rabbi Shemot. But the Kevin is Sachem HaMikvar. Allah cared in the Sakhama Mimbar. According to the Tana Rabbi Shmuel, whose opinion is the one that's not accepted, so can read beautifully. In the commentary to Israel, then this new din will be noig, and Allah cared in the Sakhama Mimbar. The whole 40 years they were traveling in the Mimbar. They had the Mishkan, they didn't bring the Sakhama. What do you do with the Pasuk? What do you do with the Pasuk? Says the Perish in the Tzabe. That's what the Bali Ataisa say, the same Teret that the Teret Mima rediscovered. He's probably quoting it in the Bali. So he says, obviously you have to distinguish between a carbon yachid as opposed to a carbon seabird. The carbon is mentioned in Parshas Tetzave, a carbon is seabird. So there was Nisachim, even in the Midbar. And here the Pasuk speaks about a yachid, the father Nether of the Dovro, a person brings a carbon yachid, as my dad, a yachid, a hikru, a makru, a carbon. He can clearly got carbon yachid. But the carbon yachid only requires Nisachim. And mincha, mishinich mishalar. Yeah, point to Rabbi Shmuel is no problem. The problem is point to Rabbi Akiva. The thing that's accepted in Allah. Whenever there's no place for Mikir Rabbi Shmuel, usually it's similar to Rabbi Akiva. But the top point to Rabbi Akiva, that Kerbin is talking about Midbar, that they didn't find the Midbar. So how in the world are they supposed to be? Pasuk Beis. Eric says, well, Pasuk Beis. It says, Dabar B'nai Yisrael, Matan, Ki Savoy, Yol Eretz Mishar Seichem, Shem, Yim Eretz Anachem. What began in Eretz Yisrael? It began as the rule of law. So Rabbi Akiva says, the answer. Rabbi Akiva makes a statement at the end of his office, and the Bali HaTeis explained that statement was made in order to explain Pshat in this pasuk. He says in the Midbar there was no Het HaBamis, so they could only bring the Tzachim and HaBamis in the Mishkan. The first time they could bring the Tzachim and HaBamis Yachid on a private Bama was when Yishovi Tzol HaSayar when the Het HaBamis. So then they brought the Tzachim and HaBamis Yachid. No, they're attached in the pasuk. Pasha Pshat and the Pasha sound better than Rabbi Shmuel. But Allah, we don't assume like Rabbi Shmuel. We assume that the din is like Rabbi Akiva. The din of the Tzachim began right away. Even in the Midbar, there was a din of the Tzachim. And the Pasha continues to say that these dinim apply per carton. Coffee, also la shah, half a dollar, half a dollar, set back for in Obaizim. A mitzvah should tax, it's not a tax of effort, it's a mitzvah. If you bring five, you have to multiply by five. Bring ten, you have to multiply by ten. Kolezach, you have to cough. I say, the Hakru Yishirek and Chach Hashem. What's an Ezra? One who is naturally born as a Jew. The other is from Ger. Oh, Hashem, the Sayyid of the family, where is Satan? And if a Ger will convert, an Ezra refers to one who is naturally born Jew. The other is from Ger. If a ger will convert, the other issue we have to have Hashem, Kashatasu, Kain, Yatze, etc. What, that the same didn't apply to a ger? Shita, Michael Mashma, why should I think that not? Terrachas, Mishpatech, Yolachem, La Ger, Agoritim. I mean, this is the first passage that he said that. He wouldn't know that, that the ger has the same din. But the Sifrei learns a different shot in the passage, but because it needs to tell you that a ger has to bring a carbon a ger. The Gemara in Greece and South Central and Alba says that Kochen Kavetech, Mavetech, and Nishma Silubit, they would live with Philip Hansoa Zomit, that at the time of Kabbalah Sater, they became Gerin, the three mighty before they were Kabbalah Zomitzin. Now the Nishma, then in addition, they would live with Philip and Carbon, so to the Duras, there is a requirement for Lila Tzila Carbon. How do you know there was Carbon? Because it says on the end of Parshat Mishpat. Says that Moshe Rabbeinu brought the dam, divided in half, Bargona, Zorakam, and Beach, and so on. So the Sifrei says, yeah, that's a description, but here it says it explicitly. Yogwit, Chamger, Hashem, Sechem, Dura, Sechem, Yotze, Yishev, Yechem, Chayat, Hashem. He has to bring a carbon on Ger. That's what it means. Ger has to bring a carbon on Ger. What if he doesn't bring the carbon on Ger? Mentioned, the Gemara says in Creases, the Rambam quotes it, the Sefer. It's quoted in Gemara Creases, I've said in the base, that his Lucius Yisrael is slightly incomplete. And again, what? That the Rambam only quotes the Sefer to their increases that he's not permitted to eat carbon. Normally, any Yisrael is permitted to eat the Tzar Shlomim, if he's Tohar. Kachi kachi mwani neachal a zifr kunim. A Kohenes can eat. Tzami neachal a zifr kunim, only in the feels that that's not enough. He thinks that you have to extend it a little more. He says, what does that mean? What that means is that with respect to Karbonis, the Ger is treated like a Ben Noyah, he's treated like a Goy until he brings his Karbon Ager. So he says, not only with respect to eating Karbonis, with respect to all Hilchos Karbonis, my Nachkimidis, he says another two Nachkimidis. Not only eating Karbonis, a Ben Noyah is not permitted to eat Karbonis. What if a Nochri wants to volunteer to bring a Korban Shlomim? So the Gemara has a Machloek Tatanoim. There are Tanoim who say a Goy cannot bring a Shlomim. Only an Oilo. So what if the Goy converted, now he's a Ger, but he didn't yet bring his Korban Ager? So the Meshech Chochma wants to say, he thinks that that's the Mashmoet of these Pesukim. It doesn't really say anywhere. The Rambam and the Gemara, that the Septim Kriyat doesn't say. It's the Chiddush of the Yosameh, over here on this program. He thinks that before the Ger brings the Karban HaGer, Rizimu Kipen Noyach Lagabi, all Karbonis, the Hainan, not only that he's not permitted to eat Karbonis, but we wouldn't accept the Karban Shlomim from him. And then he says, number two, another din, the Gemara has a Machloek Satanayim, what if a Goy brings the Karban Oilo? So a Karban Oilo always has to come together with Yayin. Would you accept the Yayin from the Goy? His Karban needs Yayin. Would we accept the yayin that he donates, or would we say no? We have to buy our own yayin and bring it in the Beis Hamikdash and Mizbeach in conjunction with the Goy Karban. So this is a machlokes hatanayim, but a mekabel yayin min anochrim. The point of the Tana today, mekabel yayin min anochrim. Anochrim can bring korban, he can bring a korban other. We have to pay for the yayin, even the Meshech Chochmah Tzei Achidish. Even a ger shen is gayer, v'adayin lo hikru, korban a ger shelo, and he wants to bring, let's say, a korban oilo, wants to bring some other korban, so we would accept the carbon, but there is Benoya. And we wouldn't allow him to pay for the yayin. We would pay for the yayin on our own. Until he brings his carbon, oilas hager, specifically for the purpose of being mashlam the geirus. So that if they bring the carbon, oilas hager, then his geirus is completed, and then his dinuki Yisrael got the offer. Din of Chala. There is a din of Hafrash of Chala, but the Torah only applies in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't apply in Chutzlar. Some people make a mistake, they think that you're not going to be Machish Chala. Okay. But the Rabbanan, maybe it's Hafrash, you have to be Machish Chala, even in Chutzlar. Chala is Chutzlar, it's only the Rabbanan. The Gemara says it's more Kal, there are other Chumas, let's say, Maisa Yerek is the Rabbanan. Chala Chutzlar is more Kal than that. For example, the Gemara has in first pair of the Beitzah, and Choyrez, and Rav Zayin, you might have a lot of kulas. One of them is, Eichel v'hoylach m'vatshi yachrish l'afrena. Usually when you have tevel, so you're not permitted to eat any tevel before you're machrish. And only after you're machrish, then it's matzah nisa tevel m'kana l'abla. But Chal Chutzlach is a special kula. You can be Eichel v'hoylach, let's say I buy cake and cookies, the bread from the bakery there, I know that everything is kosher, but I think that they're not machrish chal. I think or I know that they're not machrish chal. And let's say it's Shabbos or Yontif now. Shabbos and Yontif, you're not permitted to be Machrish Chalas. So the Gemara says, you can eat all you want as long as you leave over a little bit in each batch, that they make different batches of dough. You have to leave out a little bit, then after Asar, after Yom Tov is over, after Shabbos is over, you can be mafrish, and what you need to be mafrish is a tevel mele mafrish. So that heter, that kuba, the pashtus, only applies to chalas chutzlos, which is more kal than all other derabbanos. Let's say in Eretz Yisrael, you would have maisa yerek. So the pashta certainly is the way we pass in aloha that you wouldn't say he's permitted to eat doch of a hayloch mevad shiachish lachayim. You would not say like that. In the Shmira Shabbos Kel Pasta, he points out that the various Yisrael on Mishnah is in one place. Right? Otherwise, he says that he's wrong. He quotes that time to say it's not correct. Right in one place, that I'm not the Yerek and all the trims from Isaac the Rabbana, but in the doch of a hayloch, you can be mafish with this doch. That's not correct. There's not a lot of doch. So the din is that Bizman Azeh and Tuklos, we have to be mafish Kala, Itam Takanas Paham, that's Talas Kuzgar. Some people make a mistake. A lot of Europeans make mistakes. Religious people, they think that challah is only from challah, or bread. But if you have cake and cookies, that's not challah, because it's what about chok and the lechem haaretz? Only if it's lechem. That's beferish, not correct. Al pi pashtus, not correct. There's such an aruch hashulchan like that. Yeridei, shmukas hakrosh and challah, yeah, cake and cookies, that's only nash. That you don't have to be mafish challah. Everybody points out, that's against all the mishnah. That's a big shayla. What about if it's a very loose batter, that force? Lila Rakamiyo, that's a big deal in the Shonen and the Machlokes and Achrena. But so late, she the Halurach had told us that when he heard from his mother, when she got married, he to her father, But Chaim Salvechik told her that when she makes sponge cake, she doesn't have to be Machlokes Chalot, and the Chalot Kutwa. But in Eretz, well, you should be Machlokes. So many kulas, you can rely on the mekilim. Rabbi Nezer has a tshuva. He says that it's wrong. He doesn't like that kula. He says, "I but the minig by all the bakers is that they're not mafish chalas." What do the bakers know? I'm a ratzin. They don't know anything about anything. What minig bakers? They know what the minig is. They know what they're talking about. They don't begin to know anything. The whole attack. He says it's not right. There's no one knows how to learn who would say such a thing. Rabbi Soloveitchik explained why there is room to say that. Shainim will seem to say that. Anyway, that's the shot. People mistake. They think that it says, why bachochum, lechem, lechem. They think challah, machish challah. Challah is only a challah. The word challah, the Vilna Gaon points out in the Bira Gaon Yeridei, the word challah in Kumish, in biblical Hebrew, doesn't mean the challah. What we call challah, what the Balabat takes out, in Kumish is called truma. Bitl Hashem truma, the Dara said. Kariva truma. The word challah that appears in the Chumash means the whole batch of dough. In biblical Hebrew, the word challah means dough. That's why the Vilna Gaon says that it's not correct. In Yeridei, there's a whole discussion in the Chavon Yeramo, what's the Nusach HaBracha when you're Machrish Challah. So some say, Asher Kedushan Mitzvot Zvon or Lachrosh Es Challah. So the Gaon says, what's that with Lachrosh Es Challah? That's a Yiddishism. That's an old Yiddishism from the times of the Tanoi, the Mishnah. Mishnah is called Challah. Mishnah is Challah. It says all over the place, but he says that's the Loshon HaTanaim, that's not the Loshon HaTanach. And we have a klal from the Rishonim that the brachas and the tefillas are all supposed to be in a biblical Hebrew. So in biblical Hebrew, you should really call that Hashem Kishan Tzon on a precious truma, not on a precious kama. The Isa is called kama. In Yiddish, we call the bread that we eat on Shabbat, we call that kama. So people make a tushka. This is kama, that's kama. So you're not fish kama, salam, bread, the whole thing is all a confusion. The challah in biblical Hebrew means the dough. And it says lechem, and lechem doesn't only mean bread. Lechem, cake and cookies are also called lechem. Sometimes you say, havaytzi lechem and artik, eat enough cake and cookies. Farina, witina, is never called lechem. You can eat a ton of it, and you don't say havaytzi. You don't wash, and you don't drink a samar. It doesn't have a tzuris hakah. So that's not called lechem. So witina and farina is not chayz and hafrash is chayz. But cake and cookies is called lechem. Sometimes you say hamaytzi, sometimes not. That's the takanas chacham. If you convey a suda on it, then you say hamaytzi, then you have to wash and put it down, and you say bechon tamoz. You cannot convey a suda enough. But from the fact that if you walk convey a suda, you have to say hamaytzi and so on, that shows that it's always called lechem. It's called pas habav v'kisnu. It's called pas. Pas habav v'kisnu. The minchas pinoch is for kasha and the rambam. The minchas pinoch and mitzvahs matzah. Parashibo. If the Kasha and the Raman, the Hilkos comments and Matzah, the Raman writes that on treif, the Raman and Hilkos Brachas writes. There's a Mishnah Brachas that says that if you're eating treif of bread, shlosha shafa ka'achat kayav mezam, three people are eating together bread, so they have to bench mezumah. What happens if they're eating non-kosher bread? But then they don't bench mezumah. So the Raman reads that, the Raman, Shulchan Aruch Pasuk, the Raman, they read that Mishnah to say if you're eating treif of bread, Not only don't they fetch mizumin, they don't fetch period. You don't say hamayit and you don't fetch. Unless you're a choyla mesuka. Unless a guy is a choyla, because nefesh allows him to eat it, but then it's a machlekes, and then we pass him that you do say bro. And there are those that disagree with that also. Those who hold no, that even if he's a choyla, if it's straight, it's straight, and you don't, even though it's mutaf him to eat it, since the food is straight, you don't say hamayitzi, you don't say bechas hamazan abir. Some make a distinction between if he's a chet and he's a gab, and the miri has such a distinction. But if it's tray for bread, even if the doctors say you have to eat it because he's sick, let's say it's a pesach, and the doctor says you have to eat the chametz in order to save your life, so then some shem say, the Rambam would say you don't get broke, but if it's Yom Kippur, it's only Nisa's man, the food is really kosher, it's just that it's Nisa's man, it's Nisa Gavra, so then you would say broke. So then she said he doesn't understand what that means. But one of Shot said, you hold that, we pass in the Shulchan up, that if the head is said broke, so she said broke in the tray. And if you say that it's an Easter, and Kroch Nefesh doesn't change the situation, he didn't see why Yom Kippur should be different. He didn't like that distinction. Anyway, you have all the different sheets. The Shulchan Aruch passed, and then whenever the person has a head to eat the tray for food, then he does say broch. So on that din, the Rambam writes the Pshat and Nefesh, the writer writes that that's not what it says in Mishnah. The writer writes that Kesher Rishoyim Enem in Aminyin, that's the Gemara in the third parak in Sanhedrin, that Rishoyim don't really combine together. Because each Rosh is after himself. So you can't really say that it's Losh Shalfa Kachas, if you're eating trade for food, it's not off the Kachas. Bali Avera do Averas individually on their own. So that Mishnah only says if people are eating trade for bread, then they're not the star of the bench Mizumah. But if they're eating trade for bread, they don't say Amos. Let's say a guy's a little bit religious. He just joined NCSY. So he knows to say Amoitzi, he says Amoitzi, he benches, he washes, but he doesn't keep kosher yet. His parents, let's say, he lives by his parents and they don't have kosher food. So what should he do? That's no prayer. He's going to eat the trays of food at home. So you say, shouldn't say Sha'akam when he eats to him? Well, he should. Shouldn't say whatever. Shouldn't say Brachim when he eats the non-kosher food. So the Rabbi says, yes, he should say the Brachim. What's wrong? Only Allah in the Mishnah is that if they're eating trays of food, they're not going to start from Yachat to Mezumim. But a Brachim, that's the Machlokes. So the Rambam holds that there's no Brachim. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Chametz and Matzah, whatever bread one does not say Brachim, because it's tray, such a matzah is not acceptable for the mitzvah. It's matzah because the Mishnah says in Shofet that you can't be yotzei with tray for matzah. Zeh klal kol lechem shemivarchan olam hamotzi adam yotzei b'deicha vasa b'pesach kol lechem shemivarchan olam hamotzi ein adam yotzei b'deicha vasa b'pesach. That's what the Rambam writes. So the Minchas Chinuch was bothered with a kasha on the Rambam. But the Rambam writes that matzah shira is not acceptable, but matzah shira is not good. The Rambam holds that not egg matzah is okay. The only four matzah shira that are not acceptable is if you mix the flour with shem and yayin, cholov and vash. Only those four mashkin. That's all. Those are the only four mashkin that I mentioned in the Gemara. The Rambam does not extend it to all mayperis. In the Shulchan Aruch, we don't accept the Rambam's opinion. So HaShulchan, if it tries to matzah, works hard to explain the Rambam. Why should it only be these four? Yain Shem and Rosh and Kol? That's what the Rambam says. Only these four that I mentioned in the Gemara and all other May Peris, if you mix flour with May Peris, it's good for Shmur Matzah and Lal Pesach. And the Rambam disagrees with the Rambam. So the Minchas Chinuch is Kakashe, if you're going to have egg matzah, you're going to say, Bore Vinu Zainisan. So it's a matzah, Alechem Shem Abach and Olav Amoitzi. So the Rambam says that klal kol pashim ibrachim olav amoytzi odem yotzi zecher vasa b'lo pesach kol pashim ibrachim olav amoytzi. The Rambam really meant trey for matzah, but the Rambam writes that klal. The rule is whenever you say amoytzi it's good, whenever you don't say amoytzi it's no good. So the Minchas Chinuch says that the that klal that the Rambam invented, the Rambam gives you the summary at the end, is not accurate. I have a hechet inse where you don't say amoytzi, namely if it's egg matzahs, because it's made peiris, it's pasach of the kismin. So how come the Rambam says that it's good for matzah? Lechem, shem, yirachon, olav, amoytzi. So the Minchas Chinuch gives a teretz and he says that if you kavei asuda on the egg matzah, then you do say amoytzi. So on the Pesach, everybody's kavei asuda. That's what the Sfardim do. All year long they say mizayin is on matzah, except on the Pesach they say amoytzi on matzah, because like the Minchas Chinuch, all day on the Pesach, it's called a kavei asuda. Loaded by if you start in front of someone from school with these big the charts that say you have to eat so much matzah, that's one kazai. Mamish clear food. That's for sure. But even in the old country, and they didn't eat such a ton of matzah. It's also the Minchas Chinuch holds that Al Pidin, that's called clear food. Yeah, but the question is, did he really need that? Did he really have to give that teretz? The Pashto says that it's not a problem even. As long as, even if on Leil Pesach he would say Mizaynus on the Yegmatzah, he could say that you still have to say that Avosah. Even if Pashto says Rambam, Rambam didn't mean to say, what it depends on, Kol Pashto Mivok and all of Hamotzi, it means if theoretically you could sometimes say Hamotzi, so that's the proof that this is called Lechem, Hamotzi Lechem Yonotzi. If it's called Lechem, so even if you're not Kevesim, then it's still a blessing. It's more called it Pas Abob Kistin. Pas means that it is Pas. But it's a Pas Abob Kistin, whatever that means. Different Shulchan and Shulchan Aruch, how do you translate the word Kistin? Pas Abob Kistin. But you see that it is Pas. So if you have real Pas, you have real Lechem, bread. So that's always how much, even if you're just eating as a snack, even if you're just eating bread crumbs. Even if you eat matzah mel, we pass them by the Ashkan, even if you eat matzah mel, you say how much. If you're having a cake or cookies, so that's also lechem, that's also pasta. It's impossible for kitzvah, so sometimes it's mezonos, sometimes it's tamay. But from the fact that sometimes it's tamay, namely if you kaveh sudah, even if on Leil Pesach you hold not like dinim haskirah, not like the meaning by the Sfarim, you hold that it's not a kaveh sudah, just have a snack, it still is called lechem, shemavach, and all of amayitzi. You could sometimes say amayitzi if you would be kaveh sudah. So that qualifies for lechem. Here also it says, when you eat the lechem ho'aret, cake and cookies are lechem. Baharai, that sometimes you say Hamoitzi. You don't have to say Hamoitzi now. If you say sometimes Hamoitzi, that shows it off your din. It's a lechem deraisa. If it's a lechem deraisa, then it qualifies with a chiyuv hafroshes kala. But lila rakam yod, if it's a batter that mamish pours, that was a big matlab. That's a labinez and others. And Rav Soloveitchik said that Rav Chaim was nekel b'chutzlos, the kala's chutzlos. Then the Torah has a special din of a chatzos avodah zarah. Normally it says in Parshas Vayikra, if a person violates any avera b'shogeg, which if he would have done it b'nezer, he would have chayav koreh. If the avera is violated b'shogeg, he's chayav chatzos. What's that chatzos? Either kizbo or se'iro. And if the whole Klal Yisrael violated the avera, then they have to, because of the psak of the Bez Nagol, and the Chumash says in Parshas Vayikra, the Bez Nagol has to offer what's called in the Gemara Hari as a par halam yor shatzim. Here by the Zohar it says that it's a special deal. His Tishgur of Asas is Kol HaMitzvah Se'ela. What do you mean is Kol HaMitzvah Shadibar Hashem or Moshe? What is that? That means Abu the Zohar. Rashi quotes from the Sifrei, that means Abu the Zohar. So then you don't have an option of Tishgur or Sira. Nefesh Achtech for the Yikriba. Tishgur, Sira is in the Kegel. Here it's an Eid. The Zohar, it's a gun to a different animal. It's Eid Bashnot of Achatos. And if Sibur does it, it's also a special deal. Achatos, special chatas of the Zohar, soy of the Zohar, special, different deal. And Pesach Lamed, Perek Tezvav Nid, Manefesh Shetat Biyod, Roma Min Rezoch Min Adir Et Hashem Hu Megadei, Im Nichmeso Hanefesh Ahi Mikerev Am Akipar Shem Bozo, Es Mitzvot Ha-Yipar, Hikoros Kikoros Nefesh Ahi 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 Nefesh Ahi. The Gemara in Greece has a machlokes satanoi. Rashi quotes part of it here. Rashi alludes to it, not so much. On Pasuk Lamed. The Gemara has a machlokes satanoi. Mr. Hashem Hu Megadei, is that referring to Megadei? Or is it referring to Avod Avod Izor? Mr. Hashem Hu Megadei means that he's doing some kind of an avir with his lips, with his mouth. It refers to Mekadei, Mr. Hashem Megadei, Hashem Hu Megadei. If it's referring to Avodah Zarah, has it fit in as Hashem and Megadeh? I think Rashi and Gemara increases. The first parak increases to the daf. Second daf, Rashi says it means he sings Avodah Zarah. If he sings Avodah Zarah and start with the daf, that's the way they worship the Avodah Zarah. He prays for the Avodah Zarah. But then he's five Misa. Then he's five Koris. But Avodah Zarah is Kidarka. The way the Avodah Zarah is worshipped, one of the ways it's worshipped is by praying through with singing. Prayers, but then it's Hashem Hu Megadeh, that's an act of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara has this machlokes satanai, how do you translate that pasuk lamed? Is it referring to Megadeh or is it referring to Avodah Avodah Zarah? The Rambam in the Gemara of the Buchim comes and guns in a different interpretation on this pasuk. And Yankov Kamenetsky in the paper that they published on Chumash points out that there are different Rambams in the Gemara of the Buchim. Some of the Rambams do not speak into the Yarek HaZok and others do. So this is one of those that they say crept into the Yarek HaZoker. Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky, there is a Rambam in Hilchos Rotzeya. Hilchos Rotzeya. What does it say? Quote the Dina Baisitza. Not allowed to kill anybody. But there are some exceptions to the rule. But the Rambam says, Abikursin. Peri Gal and Allah Yud. Abikursin. Hang. Of the Abed Zora. Oh, Hoste Abeiris. Oh. Hoste Abeiris Lahachis. Achil Ochal Nevelo. Olovash Shatne Lahachis. Abeize Abikursin. So what is their special status? Or these people who do Averis, or of the Avodah Zarah, or the people who do Averis Mahakir. So the Rambam writes that years ago, the Rambam lived in Egypt, so he's not recommending it, it's a non-Jewish government, but he says years ago when there's a Jewish government, Hoya Mitzvah, the Flegzana Mitzvah, the Harga. Why? To get rid of them. If you have the ability to do desire, that's preferable. You love, and if you can't do desire, but then you try to bump them off in some way or another. Actually, Sabeh Harigos. Minayin Lola Harambam, where does he get this? So the Gemara says that the Apikurus Imam Aridim Lamalim. It's the Gemara Navarizor. Maridim Lamalim tried to kill them. The Gemara talks Maridim Lamalim. Maridim means ground receiver. That you convince him to go down in the boat, or you push him into a boat, and you take away the ladder, so he has no way to climb out. So that's Rambam. But the Rambam says, the Bachil of the Din is that you should kill him, the Bahasia. As a Hirosh Shor, and if you can't, Taisi says, Yeshkaf Yachnam, Taisi says, I'm not Gemara. Oh, what's going on? Of course, I'm reading Lamar, what happened to the Tirza? So Taisi says, Yeshkaf Lakadom and Adobe, Kumi Asay, if it's a Hirosh Shor, and Migdamos. Okay. It depends what the society is. Today, you're not going to accomplish everybody wears shatness. Anybody who eats non-kosher on principle, what happens? It's 85% of the Jews. So we're not going to have any Jews left. We won't accomplish too much. We're going to wipe them all out. So today it doesn't make sense. The Rambam writes, Toya mitzvah the heart. Like Zaina mitzvah the heart. But why does the Rambam say desire? Yesh v'yadukar to heart and desire for perhesia. Holy. Why should that be so? So no one knows the mocker for the Rambam. But Yankov Kamenetsky suggests that maybe that's based on what the Rambam wrote in the Moreh Nevuchim. Because the Rambam gives the same mashal in Moreh Nevuchim. The third chelek Moreh Nevuchim is not so big. The first two chalakim is a lot of people don't like it. The third chelek is just talks about Tamei Amitz. So that's the chelek even big Tamei HaChacham who didn't study philosophy, he used to study the third chelek Moreh Nevuchim. So the Rambam writes there about different types of Averis. The Shoigim, amazing, huh? And he says, L'hachiz, all of Akas and Reimer. And he quotes this passage. Anef Shetasa Biyod Rama. What is he? Anef Shetasa Ma. He says, Olechon Nevel Gabay Veshatnes. The two Meshavim that he writes in the Hilchos Vetzicha Perigal. He says, Anef Shetasa Biyod Rama. It's Hashem whom Megadeth means that he's a Chilul Hashem. Has nothing to do with speaking. So Ashi in the first parak increases to his brother, Megadeth, in speaking. So either Megadeth is Megadeth, or Megadeth is Ebed Abed Zora. How does the Chilin Abed Abed Zora with speaking? So Rashi says, it's Ebed Abed Zora. By playing a musical instrument with his lips, by playing a harp, it's not Megadeth, by blowing a flute or something like that, or by blowing a whistle, or by praying, either shir, or singing, or praying, or playing a flute or something like that. That's how Rashi and Raman says, no, it's Hashem who Megadeth. It's Mecharif as Hashem by eating the nevela, lahachid, or by wearing the shatnus lahachid. Nichas anem sheim kar b'amod, the noidish kares for wearing shatnus. And then the Shkoris were eating the Vela, because the Vela and the Shatnas represent the idea that he doesn't believe in the Torah of the Hashemah. But the Rambam writes that you have to kill such people, not so much as an Einish for the Avera that he did. Avera was only Shatnas, Avera was only the Vela. You have to kill them like a Viata Romit Ebrat, like an Ir Hanidach. Like an Ir Hanidach. That's the whole idea of the Hanidach, that you kill them. Kill him if I has to with Zayish. So the Rambam and the Moreh Nevuchim write Kilo, these belong to each other. These have a hemshah to each other. But Yankov Kamenetsky suggested that maybe that's why the Rambam wrote in the Yad HaGadol, and he said, say, I'm continuing to kill the Zayish, and if you can't, the Zayish if I has to. But it's all similar to Yerni Zayish. Then the Torah tells a story about the Mekosha Shaitan. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, they knew the Mekosha Shaitan was five years. You know, Parash Maya Yotzalah, they didn't know which Anishmus. They were told them, Chal Shabbos. Then the Gadeh that we had earlier in the end of Parashat Samor, then the Gadeh, the Gemara says, they didn't know the Chlaf, but he's five years or not. But the Mekosha, they knew he was five years. So they didn't know the Eitan to be Gadeh. But they were told that the Yonish Misa for Chul Shabbos is if they didn't know which Misa, what kind of a Hatsura would they give? So they gave Hatsura, don't do Chul Shabbos, we're going to give you a Misa. But they didn't know which Misa. So there's an Achleki Satanoi in Sanhedrin, where the Hatsura for Yonish Misa has to be Hatsura Mekuretes, Ashi Hatsura Be'idah Misa, or it's enough with Hatsura Klovis, don't do this Aveira because you're going to get an Yonish Misa. If you hold that you need Asura Mekuretes, how do they give the Yonish Misa to the Mekoshek? Let's take it over to Hayru HaShoah, and Achanami. Hayru HaShoah, Hayru. The Gemara Teyam and Beis, and Tanev, you said like that. According to Rabbi Yudah, she has real Beis and Misa, who Nera, Tanakam, Yalach, and Mekoshek. Tanakam runs up in this fire. After Tanakam, Rabbi Yudah. We have to have Asura Mekuretes. The Gemara says, Tanakam runs up in this fire. But they gave him skili, and they never gave a hatsura for skili. You see, hatsura flawless is good enough. Don't do chil shabbos because they're going to give you mitzvah. And Yudah says, no, the mekoshesh was a hayru hashoah hoyse. I was just taking him out. One of the Baba Yatesis on the Parsha asked that kasha, and he gives a teretz other than what it says in the Gemara. It's an original teretz. It says they gave him four hatsuras. Don't do chil shabbos, they're going to give you skili. Don't do chil shabbos, they're going to give you sreitzah. Don't do chil shabbos, they're going to give you. So it's not what it says in the Gemara. You can get four hatsuras. Sounds like a Mishnah Berurah in the Bi'ur HaLacha. Creates the Kol HaShiv and give four hatsuras. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says they just gave a hatsura klavim. Or the Gemara, or the one of the Baba says gives another teretz. Like, well, some kind of the requirement for hatsura mefuretes was only later, wasn't before. What's on what next? The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says the point of Rabbi Yudah who requires hatsura mefuretes. The Mekoshes was a Hayru HaShoah, and the Mikradin, they shouldn't have given him any mitzvah. And the parasha concludes with the din of with the din of Tzitzis. So in the Medrash, the Rabbi, all the Rishonim quote, the Baal HaTzitzis quote in the Medrash. What's the relationship between Tzitzis, what's the hemshech between Tzitzis and what's the hemshech over here between Avodah Zarah and Shabbos? The Rashi quotes from the Medrash, "Lalam dach shikam achal Shabbos kofrasi dina kovid avayizah." Not exactly, 100% dina kovid avayizah. That's a person achal Shabbos b'shekin who doesn't bring an egg. It brings a kibbo sira. But it means a mumer is agarah, that a mumer dina kakum. So a mumer dina kakum, the ikara din only applies if it's a mumer l'roi dina akar. If it's only a mumer for one din, like you say, it's not dina kakum. Unless the one din happens to be avayizah, then it's dina kakum. He says we will assess his kol amitzvah sale. What's that? His kol amitzvah. Well, I'm shkol avra b'lizar. Kilu over a kol amitzvah kula. That's the Rashi quote. Kol amitzvah avra b'lizar. Kikayi for b'chalat avra kula. It's in dina kak. That's the part of chavetz. Introducing the parshas korbanos chatzis avra b'lizar. And the fact that we have smichas a parshi as chil shabbos to perhesi. It is chil shabbos to perhesi next to but it's already an indication of how Shabbos perhaps is being captured. If there's a hemshech, what's a hemshech writer? The tzitzis. So the Medrash continues to say that when the Mekoshesh was Mechal Shabbos, so Moshe Rabbeinu started to... The Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, they should give him skila. Rodol Masor Ba, Vani Ba Meis, finished. Moshe Rabbeinu was pleading the case for the Mekoshesh, and he said, not fair. Baruch Hu, all we belong to me, and we're tefillin. We're tefillin all day long. He's conscious of the fact that there's a God in the world and we're Jewish and we have to keep it. And Shabbos, you told us not to wear tefillin, but we don't wear tefillin, so of course the guy's going to be Mechal Shabbos, what's going to be mine? So Baruch Hashem said, okay, it's a good taina. This guy's getting this, it's a good taina. Let everybody wear a talus. Make sure everybody wears a talus on Shabbos. So the Rishonim already is. What do you mean? He forgot. He forgot to use Mechal Shabbos. He said he was Mechal Shabbos the Navy. What would it help if he's wearing filling rings? If the guy wants to be Mechal Shabbos and Mezid, he's going to be Mezid anyway. But the Rishonim already say, they all say the same Shabbos. No, it doesn't mean that if he would have had filling on, he would have remembered that not to do Aveiros. Now we forgot. They gave him skilas. I mean, they're about throwing the Gemara. The Chil Shabbos Mezid. What it means is, the more mitzvahs the person is involved in, so the more hashpah the mitzvahs have on him. And the mitzvah, the Gemara says in Sotah, that the hidden of the atikva, when a person is involved in doing a mitzvah, it would be making him from doing averus, and he wouldn't have come to do chil shabbos b'nezik. But shabbos is not wearing any tefillah, and nothing to keep him, nothing to have hashpah on him. So the Baruch Hashem said, make sure you wear tzitzis on shabbos. That's what it seems, that on shabbos it's more important to wear tzitzis than on a weekday. The Medrash said, especially for those that meet us considered, the only way tzitzis will be long. And on Shabbos they don't wear tzitzis. The Maharam Ruttenberg's Talmidim, right? On Shabbos he wouldn't wear tzitzis in the street. All these months were. On Shabbos he didn't wear. They have different versions of why he didn't wear the tzitzis on Shabbos. And it says, has the truth about this. They showed up. That he claims that those who were not so close to the Maharam Ruttenberg didn't know the real reason. Those who were the close Talmidim, they knew the true reason. The real reason was that it was precious for the Sheikh of Balamor. Apparently, I'm not leaking. Balamor passed like the Tanya. Chelus me'akevet es alor. But there's no mitzvah sitting in the man of the period. That's an affirmative. The Rabban garnished. Nothing. Why? Because if you don't have chelus, you don't have sitting, so you're not yet sitting. We don't pass like the Balamor. Balamor and Perek, Dhamma Madlikin writes like that. And the Rabban writes, and the Thomas writes, on the side of that Balamor, and he heard, the Balamor, and do so, and he heard about the Balamor, and he never was sitting. Never was. I remember our Salvation once made a comment when we were learning that Ramban, and she asked, they said, the meaning buried the Baal HaMor without tzitzis. Why he said, no one understood why he was so bothered that they buried the Baal HaMor, whatever, their whole lifetime and everyone said that somehow. They buried the Baal HaMor without a
tzitzis. Even without an error. And even with an error, you would wear
this. Right, right. That's the real reason. The real reason was that he was precious for the... No, he was cautious for the Baal HaMor. She said, all week long he would wear tzitzis. I, the Baal HaMor. He said, look, the only area that the Mabatul Mitzvah is tzitzis, but on Shabbos, where there's a problem of Haisor, which is no area, you have a problem of Haisor. So it's a bigger problem. Yeah. But if he would have an error, then he would wear tzitzis. Another Talmidim of the Maharam, which was not that close to him, misunderstood what his concern was, why he didn't want to wear the Arab conflict in the street, cook for errors. On Shabbos, initially he wouldn't, but now he wouldn't wear the tzitzis in the street, good flavor. But those who were not so close thought that he was nervous that maybe the chutzim will rip. Maybe the strings will rip as he's walking. The strings of the tzitzis rip, then the Gemara said in the office that it's the nitzah haitzah. The nitzah haitzah on the strings. When the strings are serving the role of kima nitzah tzitzis, then the chutzim bag is kedar, so it's kibegat on it, so there's no haitzah. But when it's not kosher the tzitzis, then the Gemara says the fairish in the office that it's haitzah. But then it claims in his tshuva that wasn't the real reason. The real reason was that he was precious for the Baal HaMor Shittin, but Chelos Me'akev was the Talmud. I saw in the Sefer Moshe of Kenyan, a collection of the Baal HaYotes, and I misquote it, I misparsh at the end of this segment. He quotes that Erish also, that you should be more medactic on Shabbos than on the weekday for their tzitzis. Not like the Maharam Wittenberg's practice, less observant on Shabbos. And then he has an interesting shaila. He says if a person is walking around with an upper countenance, then he puts on a talis, does he say a broche when he puts on the new beggar? He says, of course. He says, of course. Since this is a chayva, it's not beggar. Every time you wear another beggar, you can have tzitzis on that beggar. So just because you put on an upper countenance in the morning when you woke up and you said a broche, when you put on another upper countenance, even when you're still wearing the first one, there's no reason why you shouldn't say another broche. But then he quotes, another, and he quotes, that's what his Rebbe Serev Shimon Mifalayis and this one and the other and the Baal HaYotes. And then he says, but there's another Baal HaYotes that says not so. I never heard of that. But there's another Baal HaYotes that says not so. And he says that if you're wearing an Arba Kampus with tzitzis, and you put on another Arba Kampus or another Kampus with tzitzis, you do not say a broche. So he says, obviously this Baal HaYotes is of the opinion like the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. I don't know Rabbi Yossi, I didn't have a chance to look in this script. I think he means that Tana Rabbi Yossi doesn't mean the other Rishon. Because obviously they hold like Rabbi Yossi, that if a person is wearing five Arba Kampus, then at one time he only has to put tzitzis on one of the five. So he doesn't have to put tzitzis on all five. And that's already such a shita. Well, everybody agrees that you need to put tzitzis on each and every garment that you wear. And if you're wearing many garments at the same time, each one has four corners. He quotes this, the Moshe of Zakenim. This Moshe of Zakenim has a Maila and has a Chisor. It has a Maila that they don't have to have Chinese with footnotes on the bottom of the page. wasn't in front. Sometimes you don't know who's Rav Yossi. Where is this Shita? Who is this Rishon who says that? Does anybody else hold like that? I don't remember. God was looking at Beis Yosef. I remember that such a Shita was quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That when a person puts on a talit, and he has on a talit already, he has on an avakash medit, but he doesn't say a bracha, because it's a Shita, Rav Yossi, he says, it's not the place to put on it. Malbim has a fascinating commentary on the Haftarah. Because why did the Meraglim go to Rachav HaZayinah? He says because the prostitutes know all of the military secrets in every country. Because all the big generals and all the presidents of all the big countries, they all have Zionists. And when they're with the Zionists, so they tell all the secrets. They don't win with the enemy. They're not going to tell the enemy the secrets. But when they're with the Zionists, they say all the military secrets. They give all of the classified information out. So if you want to find out what's doing in the other country, just tap the Zionists for the information. They had in the history in the recent years, they had several big scandals where the Russians and others, other communist countries, found out big military secrets of England and of America by going to the prostitutes. They learned the Malbim. They learned of Shat and Yeshua. And we followed his advice. Yeah. Okay. Sunday morning I'm free. So people are many people interested in coming to hear a shiur.